Our first reading is from Ezekiel 37, or chapter 37. If you have a Bible, it would be great if you followed me to make sure I don't make a mistake. It's on page 868. Page 868, verses 1 to 14. Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, which was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make you..." No, it's a lie. "I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading is taken from Acts, and it can be found on page 1093 of your pew Bibles. It's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. And it's the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing wind, of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and all parts of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out the Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood for the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Just pray for Ian as he comes up. Lord, I just pray for ourselves as well, Lord. Just your Spirit, let's open our hearts to hear the word that your Spirit has laid on Ian this week. May he speak with power and direction, so that we hear your voice, hear your word, and are moved to take action. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Andy and Leon, for the readings. Pentecost, 50 days. That's what the word means. 50 days after Easter and 10 days after the ascension of Jesus. And now, at this festival of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes on the early Christians. The birthday of the church, some have called it. When the group of about 120 followers of Jesus hiding away suddenly had an explosion of 3,000 converts added to their number, and more after that every day. It must have been at first, I think, a bit weird and a bit frightening, like any powerful act of God, but also awesome and exciting to see this that had been promised for so long actually coming to pass finally. The prophet Ezekiel, as Andy read to us, the prophet Ezekiel saw a daytime vision of a valley full of dry bones. And that vision was given to him by the Spirit of God, the same Spirit who came at Pentecost in the second reading. And the Lord God tells Ezekiel that these bones are the whole house of Israel, the whole people of God. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Well, I know the feeling. I don't know, have you ever felt a bit like that? Perhaps even you might do so right now. The reason for them was that they were in exile. They were prisoners of war a long way from home in Babylon. And they'd begun to despair and to lose hope. But God's word through the prophet Ezekiel was that God was going to come and save them, metaphorically to raise them from the dead, to knit their bones together, as happened in the vision, to put flesh on them and breathe life into them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, declares the Lord. In the New Testament, after Jesus had been crucified, his disciples had also lost hope. Even after the resurrection, it seems like they couldn't quite believe it and grasp it. They were still stunned. They were still a bit passive. They didn't know what to do or where to go. They needed an injection of life from God, as we often do too. But why do we need this? Surely I'm okay as I am, Vicar. A preacher's prayer says this: Lord, comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. In Britain today, most of us are actually very comfortable. And Jesus used to have a problem with such people. He spent time with the people who knew their need of God, the people who wanted God's power in their lives. But he was opposed by the authorities, by those in power who reckoned that they had no need to change or repent. And the church today often looks very comfortable, thank you. Just imagine if we began to see miracles happening week by week in our village and in our neighbourhood. Wonders, healings, genuine works of God. Imagine if we saw people from all nations gathering together as they did on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. It says in Acts, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Were they mad? Or were they drunk? The crowd asked. No, Peter replied. This is exactly what God promised through the prophet Joel. And as Peter speaks, it's actually just like in the life of Jesus. People saw the power of God and they were attracted to it. It drew their attention and then he pointed them to the kingdom of God, to the Spirit of God at work. So what if we saw today significant care for the poor and downtrodden, the oppressed and the marginalised? Andrew's spoken to us about the food bank, the need for contributions to the food bank. People who come to the food bank are just blown away by the fact that they're being given free food to eat. And often they're in real desperate need. What if they knew that those were Christians doing that, that the church was taking part in all of that? Later in Acts 2, Luke tells us the believers sold their possessions and their goods and gave to anyone as he had need. And that too made an unforgettable impression on the people of Jerusalem. We need the Spirit of God to fall on us afresh today. We need a move of the power of God. We need his power to fill his church. Alpha courses do very, very well in prisons, partly because there you find people who know their need of God. And when they come to faith, you can clearly see a difference. But our neighbours around us, can they see the difference that God makes in our lives? We need the power of God. We need more power, Lord. I've been very struck this week by a poem written by Malcolm Gait, and it's a sonnet for Pentecost. Let me read this to you. Today we feel the wind beneath our wings. Today the hidden fountain flows and plays. Today the church draws breath at last and sings as every flame becomes a tongue of praise. This is the feast of fire, earth, and water, poured out and breathed and kindled into earth. The earth herself awakens to her maker, translated out of death and into birth. The right words come today in their right order, and every word spells freedom and release. Today, the gospel crosses every border. All tongues are loosened by the Prince of Peace. Today, the lost are found in his translation, whose mother tongue is love in every nation. There's an ancient prayer that they used to pray for centuries in the church. Veni Sancte Spiritus, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your people and kindle in us the fire of your love. So let's just take a moment now in the silence to pray that prayer, to ask for God to come on us, his people, to fill us with his power. Let's pray that simple prayer, come Holy Spirit.